السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. We had discussed yesterday the last day of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak life and the crux of the khutbah of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. There were a few other things that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had mentioned in his khutbah. In the beginning, he recited the Shahada, praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is normal in any khutbah, you first praise Allah ta'ala, etc. So he praised Allah ta'ala and he recited his Shahada in this manner. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. He is one. He fulfilled his promise, helped his servant, and vanquished the enemies single-handedly. So all praise belongs to Allah alone. This is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting on the occasion of Fateh Makkah. Right? I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant, his messenger, and the seal of his prophets. I testify that the Quran Sharif is exactly as it was revealed. The religion of Islam is exactly as he promulgated. The ahadith is exactly as he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, related. The words are exactly as he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said. And that Allah ta'ala is the truth and the expounder of the truth. Right? Thereafter, he sent durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this words. O Allah, send salutations to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your servant, your messenger, your prophet, your beloved, your entrusted one, the best of your creation, the choicest of your creation. With the salutations that you ever sent to any of your creations, in other words, more salutations than you ever sent to any other makhluk of yours. O Allah, make your salutations, your protection, your mercy, and your blessings to descend on the leader of the messengers, the seal of the prophets, the leader of the righteous, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the guide towards good, the leader of good, and the messenger of mercy. O Allah, make him even closer to you, make his evidence greater, his honor his position and convey him to Maqam-e Mahmood, regarding which all the past and future generations will desire. Maqam-e Mahmood is the highest stage that anybody can ever reach, and this is reserved for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Enable us to benefit from his Maqam-e Mahmood on the day of Qiyamah, because it is from Maqam-e Mahmood that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede on behalf of the Ummah. Shower us with your mercy in this world and in the hereafter as compensation for him. Convey him to the highest stages of Jannah. O Allah, send salutations to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as you send salutations and blessings on Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Surely you alone are praiseworthy, majestic. He then said, O people, he who was worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. He who was worshipping Allah should know that Allah is alive. He doesn't die. Allah had already alluded to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's passing away. There is therefore no need to become distressed. He is referring to Idha Ja'a Nasrullahi wal Fath. Allah Pak already gave us a message there that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to pass away now. So there is no need to become distressed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be with him rather than to be with you. But isn't it better for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What he came to do, he did. And he took him to his honorable abode. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left behind the book of Allah and the sunnah with you. Allah Ta'ala has left through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for us. He who holds on firmly to both of them has truly recognized the truth. See, we cannot compare our akabirin to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't even compare them to Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, right? However, the same usul applies. The same usul applies. What Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is teaching the Ummah is that we are not a nation of mourners. We don't sit and mourn. Allah Ta'ala left His karam with us. Left Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnat with us. Sitting every day and crying, that is not going to produce a progressive Ummah. The Ummah will hold on to the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will be progressive. Like this, a sheikh passes away. As I said, you cannot equate the two, but we are just deriving an usul. Many people get very, very emotional. Very, very emotional for days on end, and oh, missing Hazrat, and hey, how it was with Hazrat. But ask ourselves, how much of His teachings are in our life? How much of His teachings are in our life? That is the asal maqsad. Sitting and missing the person, that's our own nafs. That's our own nafs. Oh, hey, how nice it was, and those were beautiful days, and nice days, and I'm missing him, and he was like a father to me, and khair, that's all day in its place. Insan will miss at times, you will think whatever. But that missing of the person and that loving the person should then propel us to make amal on his teachings. That is the asal maqsad. All the things that he was teaching, have we implemented that? So this is the same message as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is giving to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. That we have got the Quran Sharif, we have got the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we need to concentrate on now. We have to ensure that we hold fast to this. He who separates the two by believing in one and not in the other has not recognized the truth. People who are Ahle Hadith and people who are Ahle Quran and all that, they are deviated, misguided. O you who are believers, be the upholders of justice. Do not allow shaitan, listen to the words of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is the greatest of the Siddiqeen talking. Listen to his words, listen to what he's saying. Do not allow shaitan to keep you preoccupied with the death of your prophets. Now you go into a depression, oh, I can't do nothing, my enemy is gone. I mean, what a great loss it was to the Ummah. The passing away of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is cautioning the Sahaba, don't get caught up in this way. We have to continue as an Ummah. We have to continue as an Ummah. Do not allow him to move you away from your religion. Hasten towards good before Shaitan can tempt you. And I've seen this with my own eyes. With so many people, I don't look down upon anybody. I am the worst of all. But I've seen this with my own eyes. That people who in Hazrat Rahmatullah they passed away, were mourning so much, they were so grieved and whatever. But at present, many of them are moving further and further and further away from his teachings. Yet if you have to sit and talk to them, they will reminisce the days and talk highly of Hazrat and whatever. But even the libas has changed, the way functions are being conducted is changed, the way they are conducting themselves is changed, everything is being changed. So then what was the faida of all the taluk? I remember a couple years back, we went to visit Dr. Mangera Sahib. And just before that, some time before that, Bhaijaan had passed away. Bhaijaan had passed away. So one of these, at that time I used to still go live on air, now I've taken a decision that there's too much fitna happening in these radio stations and I don't go anymore live on air. But at that time I used to still go live on air. So they were having some, you know, they were like paying tribute to Bhaijaan and Hazarji and Jalalabad and whatever. So they were phoning different people. So they asked also if we'd say a few things. So I said, all right. So I can't remember exactly what I said. But one of the things I mentioned was that now I was a young boy at the time. So I didn't really learn much, didn't really pick up much, didn't really benefit much, you know. But one or two things that I remember is this, that and whatever, right? So that's what I mentioned in that interview. So when we met Dr. Saab, so Dr. Saab told me, he said, I didn't know all my work was down the drain. You say you didn't learn much. So what are you doing? Because Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had told Dr. Saab that every day after the majlis, I didn't understand Urdu, right? There were another one or two people there who didn't understand Urdu at the time. So Dr. Saab was given the zimmedari that after the majlis, we must go and sit with him and he will give us a breakdown of the majlis, not exact whole 3 hours majlis now, but like the main points, etc., main advices and all that, he must give it to us. So he asked me a question. He says, so many days we said, every day after 3 hours majlis, I'm teaching you whatever Hazrat mentioned, and you say you didn't learn much. So I didn't know the whole time was wasted. So the point is that, see, this whole thing is not just for kicks. Right? And unfortunately, this whole scene of the Sauf now is just like, it's more for the nafs. It's becoming more for the nafs. We get together, we have some singing, some zikrs, we go on a high, we make some heavy du'as, we feel so nice about ourselves and we go back home. Right? But what amal are we bringing into our lives? Right? Now we spoke about photography. How many of us are going to go and delete everything from our phones now? How many of us are going to take a decision now that, you know what, no more photos? How many of us are going to take a decision, I'm going to tell my friends and all, don't forward to me any of these things. I don't want to see it, don't send it to me. And if I'm on any group where they're putting all these things, I'm going to come out of that group. That is Islam. The zikr, the ash'ar, the munajat, all that is vitamins along the way. It's like the person is running the marathon. So now it's a hot day and he's hot and he's running. Now to keep him motivated and keep him running, they give him one ice pack. You know. Somebody sprays something on him. Somebody give him one juice as he's going. So that juice and that ice and all those things, that's not the maksad of running. You don't hear any runner of the comrade, you say, no, next year I'm running. See why? He said, the juice was tasty. While I was going, they gave me juice. The juice was very tasty. So I'm going to go to run again next year. They'll give me again another juice. The maksad is to run that race, right? To reach the end. Now we are sometimes making that juice and that ice and that water and everything along the way, the maksad. We get enjoyment in all of that, that's our tasawuf. Now, tonight zikr must, missed out, man, missed out. Here the murid is talking. Hey, today's dua, today's zikr, today's ashar. That is just vitamins along the way. Just to keep us going, little bit glucose and whatever, keep us motivated just to carry on. And the main thing is the Islam. Now, other day we spoke about our treatment to our wives, our staff, how sometimes we are getting involved in zulam. Those are the Islahi points. Those are the things now we need to check. Am I behaving like this? Now I need to make a note of this. I need to make a point of this. Now we spoke about just eating just for the sake of eating, just because something is tasty. Now we're just filling ourselves up with that food. So now that's the Islahi point. Now we need to ensure that I don't do this in the future. So these things, if we take these things, we make amal upon them, then our Islah will get made. Slowly, slowly we'll be making our Islah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So see what Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is saying. So don't allow shaitan to keep you preoccupied with the demise of your Prophet. Don't allow him to tempt you. Get into amal quickly. And wallahi brothers, this message is for me and you. You see, the biggest mistake many of us make, see, when Ramadan finishes, when we come out of itikaf, right, you go home, or even if a person wasn't in itikaf, Ramadan finishes, so alright, hey, you know what, we need a breather now. We went through a rigorous ibadat exercise and all that, now we need a breather, take it a little bit easy now, relax, from next week we'll start. From next week again we'll get on all that mamulat we're supposed to do and whatever. From next week now we'll start again. Sometimes a person goes in jamaat, he goes 40 days, 4 months, whatever. He comes back, he also makes the same mistake. Person goes for umrah also. Right, his day, namaz is in order, he's making tawaf, he's going Roza Mubarak, whatever. So when he comes back, he say, you know what, I need 2-3 days now to rest it out, right? You know, we're tired, calf muscles are pulling and everything. That's the mistake we make. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to tell me, he said, when you return from Safar, you went the same day, get into khidmat. Same day you get back, you get into khidmat the same day. Because if you leave it, you say, I will take it easy now, a couple of days, whatever. That couple of days don't come to an end. And then when you start coming right now, it's a very lethargic process. If from day one, so right, came out of itikaf, but I'm still on my journey to the akhirat, I got to remain on track. My ma'amulat, everything has to be done. Yes, I won't be able to do whatever amal I was doing while I was in itikaf. I won't be able to do that much. But at least my ma'amulat, my salah with jamaat, all those things have to be on track. Frustrate his efforts. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is giving us advice. He's saying, frustrate the efforts of shaitan by hastening towards good. Get into nek amal, good amal. Do not give him any time to come and tempt you. Don't give him a chance. You remain, you are moving. Don't give him a chance. Don't give the devil a chance. When he completed his khutbah, he said, "O Umar, is it true what I heard about you?" See, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, with what authority he can address Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu also. Nobody else could do this. He's addressing Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Say, "Umar, is it true what I heard about you? That you were standing at the door of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you were saying, by that being in whose control is the life of Umar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not passed away, has not passed away. Is it true that you were saying, making these statements?" Then he addressed him. He says, "Do you not remember what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on such and such a day?" Because, you know, if you read the ahadith, everywhere you read, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Always, if Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was there, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was there. But there were times when only Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was there. Like in the cave. But other than that, most times, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is there, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is there, both of them. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is reminding Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, "Don't you remember on a certain day what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said?" And that Allah Ta'ala has also said in His book, "Innaka mayyitu wa innahum mayyitun." Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, "By Allah, it was as though I had never heard this verse before. This was because of the calamity that afflicted us. We were so overcome by grief over the demise of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that the book is exactly as it was revealed and the hadith is exactly as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related it." Allah is alive, He does not die. To Allah we belong and to Him is our return. And again he concluded with salutations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "We hope that Allah ta'ala will reward us on this difficulty that we are going through, the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Right? So this was the khutbah of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now what happened, after this incident took place, it was brought to the attention of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that the Ansar have gathered in a place called Saqifa Bani Sa'ida. And why they have gathered here? They have gathered to discuss now, because you see, the next namaz time is going to come. Who's going to perform that salah? So it was a matter of urgency. We need a khalifa. Right? Who is going to make decisions here now? That army is waiting there in Jurh. What do we do with that army? So decisions, major decisions have to be made. How are we going to make these decisions if we don't have a khalifa? So the Ansar, they had gathered in Saqifa Bani Sa'ida to discuss this issue of Khilafat. Now who is going to become the next Khalifa? The Muhajirun asked Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to go there. "Let us go there also, let us go and meet with them and we discuss this thing together." Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and a few of the Muhajirun elders, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala and some other few elders, they proceeded to Saqifa Bani Sa'ida. Now this will be discussed just now, right? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala feared that the people may become hasty and they will pledge their allegiance to someone and this is going to cause problems later. They'll pledge their allegiance to somebody whom not everybody is going to accept, and this will become a cause of divisions, groupings, etc. later. Now you see this incident of Saqifa Bani Sa'idah, this will be discussed in the Khilafat or in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because it is about how he became the Khalifa. Here we want to now first conclude the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are not going to discuss Saqifa Bani Sa'idah now. We will discuss it when we are discussing Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So khair, just in a nutshell, they went there to Saqifa Bani Sa'idah, and it was there that all unanimously agreed Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala should be the Khalifa. Right? That is what happened there at Saqifa Bani Sa'idah. But all the details, inshallah, we will discuss when we are discussing the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So when this matter was sorted out, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala unanimously was chosen as the Khalifa and the successor to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now they could start with enshrouding of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, janaza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All decisions need to be made. If you don't have a Khalifa, how are you going to make the decisions? This meeting at Saqifa Bani Sa'idah took place on Monday evening. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away Monday. Monday evening, this meeting had taken place. See, our author is going into a bit of detail of the worry of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that if a wrong person is chosen, now all this effort of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 23 years, whatever he's done, now it's going to end up in fighting, in-house fighting and divisions and, you know, all this type of thing, right? So he's explaining this in a bit of detail, and he's also explaining that normally when a king dies, then how you get, you know, problems that take place, etc. We don't want to go into all those details. Basically, the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was left in charge of shrouding Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no? The ghusl, kafan, etc. Right? This was left to the family. So, after pledging allegiance, people began the burial arrangements. When they intended giving ghusl to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now the question arose, that should the clothing of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam be removed or not? Normally when you give ghusl, right, you remove the person's clothing, but obviously you don't expose the satr, right? We must go to give ghusl, right? If we can't go, burial societies, we must make dua of dua for them. Allah pagi them jazai khair, they do a great service to the ummah. But at least when somebody close to us passes away, we must go and partake in the ghusl. Go and partake in the ghusl, see how ghusl is given. And the people in the burial society, they will assist us. They will assist us, help us along. Right? So generally what is done is that a sheet is put over. Sheet is put over the person, and then the person's clothing is removed. After he is covered with a sheet, then his clothing is removed. But the question here arose that should the same procedure be done which one? First one. That should the same thing be done with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or is the procedure supposed to be different now with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Right? Because obviously the clothing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore in his hayati is babarkat, compared to taking another kafan now and putting on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what should be done? The people were suddenly put into a daze, and they heard an unseen voice saying that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's clothing should not be removed. Ghusl should be given while he is in the same clothing. You just pour the water over the clothing. You don't remove the clothing and give ghusl to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thus given a ghusl with his clothing on, and then the clothing was removed for the kafan. But the ghusl was given while Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's clothing was on. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was giving the ghusl itself, while Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and his two sons, Fadl bin Abbas and Qasim bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, were changing the positions of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see the mayit, you will have to pick the body up, pour water, make sure that the one side is washed, then you pick the body up on the other side, make sure that the body is washed, etc. So Hazrat Fazl ibn Abbas and his sons, they were moving the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the different positions. And Usama and Shukran radiallahu anhuma were pouring the water. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was doing the washing himself, the ghusl himself. And generally that is one person must do the ghusl. You can have two people pouring water or three people also pouring water, no problem. And you have two, three people to move the body for ease. After the ghusl, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was enshrouded in three lengths of cloth, right? Like how we use three lengths of cloth for men, we give them kafan. So three pieces of cloth were used to clothe Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question then arose as to where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be buried. Here again, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that a messenger is buried in the same place where he passes away. Wherever he passes away, in the same spot, he must be buried. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bed was therefore moved from its spot, and his Qabr Mubarak was dug there, the same place where the bed of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. The floor was normal sand floor, so there was no problem. They just moved the bed and they dug there. However, now there was a difference with regards to the type of Qabr that should be dug. The Muhajirun said that the type that is normally dug in Makkah Mukarrama should be dug. This is a standard qabr where there is, like what we do in Marisburg, on the Qibla wall, you've got a little niche there and the body is put into there. So they said that that type of qabr should be dug. And the Ansar said that no, the Medina type of qabr should be dug. This is where there is a trench in the middle of the qabr and you put the body into the trench. These are two types of qabr that we have. One is a Makkah type and one is a Madinah Munawara type. So the Muhajirun wanted the Makkah type qabr, the Ansar wanted the Madinah type qabr. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala were experts at digging each of these graves respectively. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah was a master at digging the Makkah type qabr, and Abu Talha was a master digging the Madina Munawara type qabr. It was therefore decided to call the both of them, and whichever one reaches first, they will call both of them, send a message for both of them. Whichever one comes first there, that type of qabr will be done. How easily they sorted matters. So it so happened that Abu Talha radiallahu anhu reached first. So the Madina Munawara type of qabr was dug for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? The grave was dug in the shape of a camel's hump as narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. Now we come to the janaza sana of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm thinking whether we must leave this for. Alright, let's rather read it. Ibn Majah rahmatullah alayhi narrates from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that when they completed all the burial arrangements on Monday, the Mubarak body of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was placed in front of his Qabr Mubarak. Groups after groups would come into the room and offer their janaza salah individually. No one was the imam for this salah. How are you going to be the imam over Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak body? So little groups would come and offer their janaza salah individually and go. Then another group would come. Now the house also was small little house. So each one came, offered their salah and they left. A narration in Shama'il al-Tirmizi states that the people asked Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala as to whether the janaza salah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be read. He replied in the affirmative. They asked him the procedure. He said that one group at a time should go into the room, say the takbir, and after sending salutations and reciting the prescribed dua, he should return. Everyone should go and offer their salah in this way. Qazi Iyaz rahmatullah alayhi says, you see, now sometimes we go into a bit of technical discussions because of all the ikhtilaf. Now some people say no, there was no janaza for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all that. So there's going into a bit of technical discussion, right? A narration of Ibn Sa'd states that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala entered the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a group. Like how the groups were coming. So they also went into the room with a group. And they stood before the body Mubarak of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they read the following. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah. That peace and mercy of Allah Ta'ala be upon you, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that he conveyed whatever was revealed to him. He advised his followers and he fought in the cause of Allah until Allah elevated his religion and fulfilled his promise. O Allah, make us among those who follow the revelation that was sent to him and join us with him so that we may be with one another. Akhirat, we will recognize one another again. We are again with our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surely he was kind and merciful to the believers. We do not desire anything in exchange for Iman and we will not sell it at any price. This Iman that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us, we don't desire anything else now. And we will never sell this Iman at any price. We will never sell this Iman of ours. The people who were present said Ameen to this dua. When the men had completed, then women also went and they were followed by the children. Children also went. So we learn from here that Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu went and they offered the janaza salah. Now Shias claimed that no, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, they didn't offer janaza salah for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a total lie. Right? In Mustadrak of Hakim and Musnad of Bazzar, it is mentioned, these are all hadith kitabs, it is mentioned that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his marz-e wafat, what we would call a deathbed, he called his family members and they asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who should perform your janaza salah? He replied, when you are finished with my burial arrangements, you should all leave my room for a little while. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam will be the first one to offer the janaza salah. He will be followed by Mikael, Israfil, and also Israel alayhi salam. Then the remaining angels will come and perform janaza salah. Thereafter, you should all come in groups and send salutations to me. Allama Suhiri rahimahullah says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says the following with regards to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. That surely Allah Ta'ala and His angels send salutations upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O you who believe, send salutations and peace upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This verse commands each believer to send individual salutations to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as it was incumbent to send salutations without any imam and without any congregation when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, so too after his demise, salutations are to be sent without any imam and without any congregation. Ibn Dahiya states that 30,000 people offered the janaza salah for Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All came in little groups, but total all in all, 30,000 people that came and offered the janaza salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away on a Monday afternoon. It was the same time as when he had made hijrat from Makkah Mukarrama and entered Madinah Munawwara. Now, he says, entered Madinah Munawwara also midday on a Monday afternoon. You know, like on a Monday around midday that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered, and at the same time he passed away also. Majority of the scholars are of the opinion that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried on Wednesday. Some narrations in this regard are very clear, in which there can be no misunderstanding. There are some other opinions that say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried on Tuesday. But the more authentic and safe narration is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried on Wednesday. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, and his two sons, Hazrat Fazal radiallahu ta'ala and Kuthum radiallahu ta'ala, lowered Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the qabr. So the four of them had gone into the qabr, and they were responsible to lower Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the qabr. When they completed the burial, the grave was shaped in the shape of a camel's hump, and water was then sprinkled on it, as is done in our times also. After completing the burial, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum returned to their homes in a very sad and dejected mood, and they continued reciting Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There is a couplet here. نفس الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. May my life be sacrificed for that cover in which you are residing. I mean, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is residing. In this cover there is afaf, there is generosity, there is karam, etc. So this is the janaza, the burial of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this brings us to the end of these seerah lessons. We haven't discussed every aspect of the seerah, but whatever we have discussed, so it brings us to the end of this seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I said, inshallah, now we will discuss maybe after Ramadan we will start, or maybe in Ramadan we'll make a start. We will discuss first few aspects with regards to the household, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'een, then maybe the children of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just little brief points, facts with regards to them. And thereafter, if Allah Paak give us tawfiq and hayati, then we will discuss the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and move on to the other khulafa. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has allowed for us to read through this, and we make dua that Allah Paak give us tawfiq, that through this we are blessed with the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this love that we want to be blessed with must propel us to make amal upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the bottom line, to make amal upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Send a lot of durood. Durood must be something all the time we are sending durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as a minimum we should stipulate for ourselves a minimum 300 durood I must send daily. And it's nothing. 300 durood is absolutely nothing. If you just get down to doing it, you'll see how quickly it is done. You can't read a lengthy durood, read a short durood. Sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How long does it take? 300 will get. And on a Jumu'ah, we should try and read 1,000 durood. 1,000 durood we should try and read on a Friday. These are minimum figures. Minimum figures that each and every one of us should be reading. Maximum, there is no maximum for durood. You can read any amount of durood that you wish to read. Durood has a very calming effect. A person has got any worry on his mind, also read durood sharif. You'll find he's in a state of sukoon. You can't fall off to sleep, read durood sharif. Any time, anything you're doing, you're stuck in a traffic, you're getting frustrated, read durood sharif. Learn from the people of Madina Munawara. You know, people of Madina Munawara, anything gets them upset. You don't see people of Madina Munawara getting angry. Anger sometimes you'll see in Makkah Mukarramah. Madina Munawara, you don't see anybody getting. Salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Rasul. They say, salli ala Rasul. Send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything, you know, like some customer giving them headache or something. Khalas, salli ala Rasul, salli ala Rasul. Anything. They want to call anybody also. They don't know the person's name. Ya Muhammad. Ya Muhammad. Everybody is Muhammad. Everybody is Muhammad. So durood should be something always on our tongue. Durood Sharif has got many, many benefits. The greatest is that we are taking our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name. All the benefits are for us. Out of love we are taking our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name. It's the least we can do. So in this, we did a muraqabah mawt also. Spoke about qabr, kafan, ghusl, all that. So our muraqabah mawt also got done. So we won't read the other kitab. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته